said there's no romantic musky fishing songs? Well, JSE's here to prove you wrong with these timeless romantic musky fishing ballads from Musky 360 Records.
I can still smell your slime on my fingers.
Are you looking for a fat girl? Well, Jay's got the song for you.
I only mount big girls.
But wait, there's more.
Let me put my hand in your mouth.
Every time I hear these timeless classics, it makes me reminisce about the last time I put my hand in a big girl's mouth. How much would you pay? $49.99? $59.99? Only $19.99. This classic collection can be yours with timeless hits like Keep 'em Moist.
Keep 'em moist, keep 'em moist. The wetter, the better.
What are you doing? Pick up the phone now. For just an additional $19.99 plus shipping and handling, you'll receive a live CD of JSE's performance from the Wisconsin State Penitentiary.
Put my tube in your mouth. Put my tube in your mouth.
Operator standing by. Call now.
All right, folks, welcome to the Musky 360 podcast of Jay Bird.
Steve.
I didn't know you were such the jazzer.
Oh, man, you kidding me? That's just some of them.
Buddy,
there's more.
You got
those are just the B-sides.
You've got the hottest jazz in the business.
Put my tube
in your mouth.
Yeah, good stuff.
Dude, you're
good
just,
songs.
Just,
you know, just the songs are good.
Just spraying hot jazz.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you going to do?
Romantic, musky songs to warm the heart.
Dang, son. Cody Don. I'll tell you. That is amazing. I am glad, folks. If you can't tell by the sound of my voice, that sounds amazing. I'm teasing. I'm back home on my studio microphone here in the Bait Cave. I've arrived back in Tennessee.
I'm back at home on my phone.
Jay is back at home on his studio phone. Actually, your phone sounds really good. We've worked on it quite a bit. You got to give. I'm giving the movie phone. I can hear myself in the headphones. Finally, you know. Now, Musky Shop Studios are pretty nice. I'm not going to get you wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
But to be back in the Bait Cave, it feels amazing.
Yeah, I bet it does. You know, it's home sweet home. You've gone for a long time, and
I spent a month up there.
Yeah, just about.
Yeah, it was pretty
good
ridiculous,
times, man. That
good
was
times.
Amazing fishing. Great time.
We greased them, boys.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Musky Shop TV, if you guys are watching, we got a new one that just came out with Al Frost.
Good episode.
Man, five Frost, fish. That was so much fun.
Yeah, it's like five fish day, it says on the thing, but it's actually five fish, what, in 4 hours, five hours?
We weren't trying hard. But that...
It was just a good action lake. Yeah, super fun.
You know,
Frosty, he put us on fish. That was cool.
And if you guys, the last couple of weeks, you've heard Jim jumped on here. Jim Stewart owns a musky shop. He is one of my favorite people on planet Earth. One of the coolest dudes I know. He's going to be in a bunch of episodes, and that dude can fish. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, he caught, I don't know if he caught half the fish, but, you know, a lot of times it was you, me, and Jim fishing. You know, we quite often had a guest in the boat, you know.
Right.
Different guides, Mary Glenn, you know, there's a bunch of different people. Pat. Yeah, Pat from Southern Wisconsin. That was fun.
What are you doing, Pat?
It's just that variety of different fishing on different lakes every day was a great experience.
And
it really was.
I will say this because while I was up there, Jay, you can attest, I was running ragged. Like, just... me and you are getting off the water after like a 10-hour day and then pulling video and like all this other stuff. I do want to take a second and say thank you so much to everyone that came to the Musky Shop Bash, everyone that texted, everyone that called me, everyone that stopped me at a gas station, everyone that stopped me at a freaking wherever I was at.
Yeah, so, on the lake a couple times too.
Literally, we're in the middle of the lake and people are hollering, "Are you the guy from the podcast?" It was kind of surreal. I appreciate all of it. I hope to goodness you guys know that, like, you know, I'm just trying to help. And I want everybody to be better musky fishermen and everybody catch more fish. And I appreciate all the accolades, but that's not what it's about. I want everybody to be more successful on their time on the water. You guys are awesome. I had so much fun up there. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Only person I don't like up there is Fred. If you go in the musky shop,
the Berlin Wall Palermo.
Listen, listen. You just spit on him for me. I'm kidding.
But what about that crazy Pete Maina from Hayward too?
Pete Maina is Pete Maina's dead to me.
He's awesome. That was a fun trip.
I can't stand him. I was actually, dude.
He's kidding.
He and I are besties. That picture you took of me where he told me one time down when he fished with me down here, he said, "Steve," or however Pete talks, "he's Steve." He said, "They should put a trough under you." He said, "They could feed the homeless with all the shit falling out of your mouth." That picture you took.
Tell him what it is, Pete.
Like, I brought that bag of chips on his boat. I said, Pete, I brought this bag of chips to get crumbs in your boat. No, Pete is amazing. We had so much fun fishing with Pete, you know, and learned so much about Wisconsin fishing.
Yeah, that was the one time we went out of the area. We went to Hayward, you know, which is almost 2 hours straight west of where we were located in Minocqua.
If you can't catch a fish in Hayward, you can't catch fish.
Yeah, I mean, that was great. Yeah, it was.
Jeez.
I mean, like, he's a real deal.
There's so many fish over there. These guys that are like fishing Hayward and are struggling, give me a break. That's money, baby. That's money. Because what I realize, if you guys are like looking for places to fish, maybe not the most popular thing to say on the podcast, but Minocqua Eagle River is a little more touristy. There's more people there. Hayward, there's not many people. So, you know, these guys that are fishing and filming and struggling over there, man, learn how to fish. There's nobody over there.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty cool. We went to a couple different lakes with Pete, and we pulled into that first lake, which will be unnamed, of course.
Pete smelled a pine tree. He pulled branches off a pine tree and said, "There's no muskies here."
He can tell. He can tell by the smell. Remember when he
went into the woods and found that Sasquatch scat and said, mm-hmm. "We're not fishing here."
Yeah, he knew.
He knew. That's what he's literally like the musky tracker.
Well, he'll bring in weeds, you know, like occasionally, you know, you get up into that 8 foot stuff and the weed tops come up. All of a sudden he gives up, he's like, he's fouled and brings up his weed. I turn around, I glance over and he goes, "Not good. We're moving.
Big musky here."
He could tell there was no slime in the cabbage, and it's like time to
okay,
move on.
That's a joke. Pete pretty doesn't cool. do that. Don't think mm-hmm. that, because Pete was making fun of somebody that used to do that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But Pete did look for Sasquatch, because Pete believes in Sasquatch.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Comment on Pete's video that, "Pete, have you found Sasquatch yet?" And I'll send you a free bait. I love Pete. He is... The one thing I'll say about Pete is this. He rivals me on just not giving a rat's ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, Pete's shtick, he's the first dude to wear pink in musky fishing. Flat out. So if you're ever watching a video of mine, I'm wearing gigantic 12.5 pink Chuck Taylors. That's like my homage. That is my bowing down to Pete. Because, you know, all these guys are like, "Oh, I'm a big bad musky fisherman. Oh, kids, muskies." Pete has been making fun of it since day one, you know. So if you see the pink shoes, however, he's OG, like, irreverent, which rubs a lot of people the wrong way. But it's funny, the people Pete has rubbed the wrong way are like nobodies. But God, you talk about, and I'm not trying to just rehash everything you guys have heard it. That frickin' musky shot bash, dude. hearing Herbeck, Mayna, and Booker in one day was redonkulous.
Yeah, it was good. We got to do that again next year.
We're gonna do it again.
Try to get the same lineup and even more. Yeah,
we'll get more.
Like bam, bam, bam. Rapid fire. Just yeah.
And it was so much fun. The Smitties. I was looking at the picture. You sent me the picture today of Russ with that fish, and I know you guys listen, Jake and Russ. That was so much fun. And just an honor. I'm sitting here just like,
oh, fishing with Smitties,
dude.
Yeah, yeah. That was one of the first trips. That was a while ago.
I'm so grateful. And again, I say it to everybody that listens to the podcast and everybody supports me, which is like, I'm so grateful because in this trip to Wisconsin, I got to hang out with three of just the best of the best.
Right. The Smitties, Pete Mayna, and me.
And you know what, dude? You're not bad. I'll say that. That's the thing. You're laughing and you think it's a joke. Jay's a stick, man. That's why you're on the podcast and we talk about it. Your fishing prowess will be on full display on the new episodes coming out. But it was cool. Just like, Jay, you had Pete Mayna net a fish for you and hang out. And that was so just awesome. And again, you know, you guys that listen to the podcast, you guys that support, you guys that come on guide trips, you guys that buy Spitfire products, or you guys that support the Musky Shop, thank you so much. Allowing us to do what we do. Speaking of products, hint, hint, friggin' mm-hmm. Titan.
Yeah, we broke the secret on the Titan on that video that just came out.
Dudes,
so it's on
dudes.
Video. Well, go.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it on the podcast.
Do it.
You ready, Jay?
I'm listening.
This is a podcast-only secret, so if you're listening right now in your car, put your finger to mouth and go, shh.
Okay.
Right? Your family's in the car, smack them so they shut up.
Pipe down.
Pipe down. Get over here.
Okay, lay it on me. Lay it on. What is it?
Okay. This is for podcasters only. I don't want you guys, don't tell your friends. Livingston Lures built my bait.
Yep.
So for the last year, I've been working on a bait that we called the Titan. Actually, my brosif from another Mosif named it. Jim there at the Musky Shop. So I was looking for a dive and rise bait that didn't suck. Now, I'm sitting here in the bait cave, and I own probably the singular largest amount of Suix and dive and rise of anybody, and I will debate you till the end of time. Show me your Suix collection. If you have more than me, I'll send you mine. You don't have more than me. My dad was a Suix addict. The reason we have so many Suix is because most of them suck. And Big Daddies and Burt's and yada, yada, yada. As a guide, I was looking for a dive and rise bait that was idiot-proof. Well, I invented it after a lot of math and a lot of science and a lot of physics, and it's called the Titan, and the fine folks at Livingston Lures made it. It will come out, hopefully, in September or some point.
Yeah.
That bait put a 50-incher in the net today. I sent Jay the picture. It's a stud.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It put fish in the net in Wisconsin. It's put fish in the net everywhere. Pete Mayna actually is promoing at ICAST 2021 in Florida that just happened. Steve Herbeck actually gave a seminar on it. I want you guys to check it out. You guys have listened to the podcast for freaking 2 years. I don't push baits. But I'm telling you, I promise you this bait doesn't suck. Is that cool? Is that douchey to say that, Jay? Like, you know, anything.
Yeah, watch the video. Steve does a little tutorial on it. You know, a brief. Here's what it is. Here's what it does. It dives and it rises. It's got a weight system. You can run it deeper and have a slower rise to it by interchanging the weights.
Here's my checklist on things that suck. I remember a prominent muskie guide in the state of Kentucky pulling up on my boat, my dad's boat, I should say, and asking him how to tune a Suic. The biggest article I ever wrote before Muskie 360 existed was how to tune a Suic, and that was for the Angler app for, Bullseye Angler and all that stuff you sell on the counter at the shop. Suics are problematic in some regard because you have to tune them. Big daddies are bad hookup ratio. I took all the Suics that we have in our house and said, what's good about them? And I emulated that in a bait. And then I said, what sucks about a dive and rise bait? What do you do with a boat side? You can't figure it out. So I created, again, guys, I don't talk about myself a bunch on here. So don't think I'm being a douche. But what I did is I took a bait and I took all the best things about all the good baits that I had, copied it, got it to a plastic bait. The cool dudes at Livingston said, we can make that. This bait tunes itself as you reel it in. Jay, you can't blow it out. You know how you
That's what is unique about it. Yeah. Yeah. You like can run it at any speed with hard pulls or whatever.
You can rip it like a pounder.
Yeah. Cuts down into the side, down into the other side, down right. to the other side, down to the other side.
So if you want
that a dive. Just exactly what you want.
Well, you want a bait that dives and rises, not one that you're fighting all day. The other thing, this is like my problem with like friggin', I love Phantoms. Don't get me wrong. You have to glue the friggin' tails on. The dudes at Livingston made a corkscrew on the back so you can screw on whatever tail you want. So you don't have
huge.
To tune it.
That's huge.
You want to put a freaking 45-inch ribbon tail on the back, you can do it. It'll probably be stupid. But so if you want to change grub tails, I like Kalen's on there, by the way, or just the Phantom tails on this Dive and Rise. Sure. The thing self-tunes. The other thing I'll say is this. When you get this thing boat side and you see the Titan, you'll see in the video, you figure eight it like a crankbait because it shimmies side to side like a crankbait.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the problem of what do I do if a fish makes it beside the boat on a dive and rise is over with. There is no short game with a Suic. You have a couple moves. You don't have a game with a Big Daddy. You don't have a game with these other baits. What do you do boat side? You figure eight it like a crankbait, and this bait shimmies side to side. It's got a rubber tail, yada, yada, yada. My buddy Pete Maina that invented the Burt back in the day loves this bait. Like I said, he was talking about an iCast. I'm honored. I feel privileged. I thank anybody listening to this podcast for that opportunity. Jim at the Muskie Shop, you, Jay, and all these people that have put faith in me. That they're stupid enough to put my ugly ass on a box.
But well, we got a bunch coming in, and we're going to be the only place that you can get them too.
Yeah, so, it's going to be
right now. You can get on the website right now and actually sign up for that notify me thing.
And
you know,
and
you
guys,
click on that, you leave your email. That's it. And then you know, when it comes out, you get an email notification that it's available. You don't have to buy anything or commit to anything. You know,
and you guys,
we don't know the price yet. But it's going to be under 30.
Under
for sure.
30.
We're hoping about $25.
And guys, I'll say this. There are other muskie shop, or not other muskie shop, but other muskie companies I talk to. And Jay, you can attest, dude, I'm being a muskie bro. You right? I have turned down offers from other companies that wanted this, and they wanted to make a $60 bait. If anything you've ever heard me talk, anything you've ever heard me talk about on this podcast, I'm sticking to that.
Yeah, it's absolute
60,
truth. Yeah, it's just
80,
like, oh, you know,
100,
we'll do it for you. It's gonna be 60 or 70,
right.
And it's like
they all want
it. Death. No
bullshit.
No, yeah, no, not gonna happen.
This is the same Steve. Don't think I'm a douche because this is the same Steve that is like, you can fish a $100 rod. So I promise you, musky bros, bro fist like the Pudes, that this thing's going to be affordable. Again, I'm not going to pound on it. I'm going to harp on it. But when it comes out, I'll let you guys know. I'm super excited about it. Obviously, if your face was on a package with a bait, you'd be super stoked. So I'm super stoked. Like I said, I drilled a 50 on it today, dude. That's like the fourth 50 we've got on the prototypes.
That's so exciting.
And the one thing I'll say is this. You guys got
on your own bait? Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Like Fred at the Muskie Shop, who I love, I was teasing about earlier. He said, "We want to be training me
in the middle of the prototype." He doesn't talk that way, does he? Come on now.
He said,
"What did he say to you?" I don't understand. What? Huh?
He said, are the prototypes as good as the originals?
Yeah.
I've been fishing the 3D printed ones, right? Super futurism. So I've fished the 3D printed ones. I've fished the prototypes, and I've fished the actual production ones. The production ones are way badass. They're the best. I'm not just saying that. Here's another thing for my musky bros. It comes with all the weights. So if you're like weighted Zuik, unweighted Zuik, guess what? This comes with all of them. They screw in.
That's actually huge in this day and age, because this year, where we are right now, it's just like hardly anybody's producing those screw-in weights anymore.
And I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it publicly on the podcast. Guess how much money I make off this? Nothing! Like nothing. Like 50 cents a bait. So that's how much of a douche I am. I took a giant hit. Because we had to have a corkscrew on the back, and we had to have screw-on weights. We had to have all this stuff that is, like, ridiculous. I want you to catch more fish. When the Titan comes out, get it. We'll talk more about it. I love it. It's my favorite bait because I made it, and it's awesome. So, that's it.
Yep. Coming soon.
Check it out. Like I said, there's some preliminary pictures on the Musky Shop website. There's going to be a limited first batch. They will have EBS. And me and Jay made the sounds. We go, meh.
Yeah. Pete made the sound for
Pete
me.
Pete made the sound.
That
is
cool.
It is people going, help me. I'm working in a factory in China. Help me. Help.
Get me out of here.
Get me out of here. Send Rambo. The thing with the EBS, I'll say this, it ain't going to hurt you.
No.
And if you don't like the EBS, there's always super glue.
Yeah, it's not like it's making that much noise, but I think it's an added
thing. I like it on baits that stop, like the Jerkmaster. Guys that are fishing the Jerkmaster, you already know, like, it ain't hurting anything, but anything else, it's rattling around. Yeah, I like the EBS. Don't flip out either way about it. Because I think personally the hooks rattling are louder than the EBS. Just my take on it.
Yeah, musky baits, I think you're right. Yeah.
For bass
baits.
A little bit different
on the small bass stuff, though.
But anyway, I'll shut up, dudes. I hope you guys check out the Titan. Thank you very much.
Sweet.
You know, I'm not much on the self-aggrandizement, and I hope you guys appreciate that. And for the amount of you guys that listen, I need to do, check her out.
Hey, another thing, I put out a little teaser on Instagram a couple hours ago. I didn't tell you. I remember that picture of the old late 80s original Raleigh and Helen's Musky Shop catalog.
Yeah.
I put that out and I said, Todd and Dave's Musky Adventures is coming soon. Keep your eyes out.
Oh, my. Boys.
Dropping some hints.
I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not ready for Todd and Dave's.
Yeah.
If you think me and Jay are funny. Me and Jay personally know Todd and Dave.
Yeah, it's scary.
I'm looking right now. It's pretty fun. We had the day with Matt Rayleigh, big one on the Lynchum. Jim got, oh my goodness. We tore up in Wisconsin. We had some fun up there too. Get ready for Todd and Dave's musky fishing adventures.
So good. It is so good. Oh God. We didn't get the hockey thing done as promised.
Dudes, we suck. Sorry.
We tried hooking up with Pat and Nick.
Hey, and, Nick from Lens. I talked to Nick. You're awesome. Thank you so much. Pat Dwyer, I apologize. Our schedule was crazy.
Yeah. We tried. Anyway, I'll try it again next year, hopefully. But at least we got Todd and Dave done, and I'm happy.
If you're in the North Woods and you need a new-to-you used vehicle, call Lens.
Lens truck.
They don't
we got
suck.
The truck set. Lens truck.
What's their jingle? Is that their jingle?
That was the jingle.
Lens truck. We don't suck. Lens truck.
We got the trucks at Lens truck.
We don't give up.
It's kind of an open-ended truck. You know. Right. Yeah. Great stuff, though.
Lens truck.
Great organization over there.
Folks, buy a truck.
If Nick, you find something you like this year, buy it. Cause,
buy it.
Yeah.
That, don't even go there. That's a whole other... we don't talk modern events, but folks, inflation is real. Fiat currency is real. Anyway, Jay, we have sucked terribly about Q&A.
I know. We tried last week, but there was a backlog we just couldn't get to.
My dudes.
No time.
I was too busy fishing with Jay and Jim. So we're going to try to get through these. First up on the docket is Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys. Looking to buy a new headlock or matlock? Depending. What's the difference between the two? Which can I use more in... Which can I get the most use out of in more situations? When do I use one versus the other? Thanks. Jay, take her away.
Well, first off, probably go with... They come 10-inch model and 12-inch model. I think most people favor the 10s.
Because they're pansies.
I think most people are favoring the matlocks versus the headlocks right now, too. Not a great deal of difference. The main difference being that those matlocks are much wider. They're quite a bit wider, wouldn't you say, Steve?
Well, they warble. Because I'm a hillbilly. They wobble or warble more at slower speeds.
And that's what's enticed a lot of people. You know, slower speeds meaning generally like under 3 miles an hour, which is kind of a common area you want to troll at. So, they're durable. And it's the thing with those baits, those Supernatural baits, that's the company that makes them. We just got some more cool ones in today, by the way.
More like other than Superman that
yeah, just
bought.
some weird off colors and stuff.
Send them to me.
They got that thing called wandering. They kind of like started that whole wandering action where the thing, right. You know, it's always kicking side to side like a normal crankbait's going to do. It wobbles or what have you, but then it kind of goes out of track and like it'll shoot to the left and it's wobbling right. At the same time and then come back. That's a huge triggering mechanism for super hogs. You're a huge fan of those baits for sure.
Holy crap, do I have a bunch
huge
of them.
Fan.
I'm trying to think.
Jim is too.
I'm thinking of my boat right now. I definitely have $1,000 worth of headlocks in my boat right now. I have 10 headlocks and probably 4 or 5 matlocks. That's scary.
That's more, yeah. Very cool.
Here's what I'll tell you. If your forage base is shad, perch, smaller stuff, 10-inch. If you're on tulipy, bigger stuff, 12-inch. Rule of thumb, right?
Yeah, and as you get in later in the fall, because, of course, fall means trolling season for most people.
Right. However, I'm going to say something that's sort of counterintuitive. A lot of people are gravitating towards the matlocks because their fatter body means a fatter wobble at slower speeds.
Yeah, yeah.
What I can say is this. You know what's called an awl or a rasp, right? A round file.
Yeah, right.
If you hit those aluminum holes on a headlock, you're going to get a fatter wobble than a matlock.
Yeah, that's a little ninja trick.
That is ninja as ninja gets, because the best trolling bait I own is a 12-inch headlock that was returned to the muskie shop because it's beat up.
Oh, yeah, that one from last year.
I took it home. I took a Dremel tool and routed that hole out. That thing is wild, dude. And it's caught, like, so many fish. Excuse me. So... don't be afraid to route that lip out a little bit or open that lip out. The wider the hole is that pin is setting in, the wilder that bait will get. I like the 12-inch headlock more than the matlock. A lot of guys like that matlock because, like I said, they slower speeds. The one thing I'll say about both those baits, those are shallow baits to me.
Yeah, they run pretty shallow. Yeah, and they have two different depth settings.
Three.
But as you go later in the fall, too, you know, generally your trolling speeds decrease in Wisconsin and you know, the upper Midwest, too. So matlock. Everyone goes bigger and bigger and bigger up to the end of the season. And you tend to slow down a little bit as the water gets really cold.
The thing I'll say is this, is with either of those baits, like, when do you choose one or the other?
Mm-hmm.
Look at your forage base. But, you know, if you're in Wisconsin or some of these one or two line things, dude, a headlock. I'm just telling you, a lot of guys look at the matlocks. If you know how to run one, you're going to be in good shape, right? Because the trick for me with a headlock is you can, and you guys are going to go, "Whoa, you crazy." If you're on a one per body of water, right? You can hand hold a headlock at 2.2, yeah, right. 2.3, 2.4. You can hand hold it.
Oh, sure.
You can make it walk and get more out of it. Don't be afraid to open that line tie hole up. It will make it walk more. It'll make it shimmy more. It'll do crazier things. And like I said, the best headlocks and matlocks that I own are ones that have been ran to death because they're loose. Right?
Okay. Yeah,
When you first get one, that hole is tight to the pin. It doesn't shimmy as much. It doesn't have the tendency to walk as much. Right? The other trick is this, is they sell those cotter key pins at Home Depot. You can drill those holes out and get bigger pins and make bigger holes, which will give a bigger walk. Ninja trick from hell right there. It's only $100 bait. You might as well take a drill to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that sounds ridiculous, but you can get some funk out of them. And I was super excited. Jay, I actually bought one of the 12-inch Supermans.
Which right.
They showed up at the store and you're like, "Oh, I got to take a picture of these." I was like, "That is the sexiest bait I've ever seen." So, yeah, I like the Superman and I brought it home and I took a big old drill bit to it. That is evil. But I pretty much run them on the deep setting, and I usually go to Home Depot and get a bigger pin for them.
Yeah.
And you will get ridiculous results out of them. Test them out. That's the one thing I'll say is this, and I'm sort of just reiterating a point, but those baits are so expensive, most people won't do anything stupid to them. Try stupid stuff with them. If you're like, "Screw it, it's $100. If I break it, I break it."
Yeah.
Bigger.
Yeah, it reminds me of an email we got. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, drill that hole out where that pin, like, is sort of hanging on by a thread. Like, what I like to do is take the standard pin that comes with it, drill that hole where I've got about just a smidgen where it's hanging on there. That thing will walk like crazy. What are you going to say? An email about what? Lynchums or something?
Yeah, exactly. I think I sent it forward to Jordy or something. He was responding to the fact that, you know, there was $100 jerkbait that we were selling.
Oh, my God.
He basically called us names, you know, for selling it. It's like,
dude, you don't have to buy it. That's like,
no one shakes to, you know, whatever at Matlocks and Headlocks, which are, you know, $90 or
my
whatever.
Favorite thing is there's this guy, I'm just going to call it out. I call him the Creepy Deacon, right? So there's this guy who's a deacon at a church in Wausau. I looked him up, right? Because I have IP addresses for pretty much anybody that uses the app. And this guy is like total creeper. And he was complaining about lynchums and all that fun stuff. And then commenting on girls' pictures on like Instagram. He's like, "Dude, that's a hot ass." And it's just like, dude, get alive, man. Give me a break. When we talk about a lynchum bait or something like that, you don't have to buy it. I feel bad about bringing up the Titan or whatever. Dude, I can catch these things. Here's the deal, bros. I can catch a muskie out of a bathtub with a drain plug stuck in it and a bucktail I made myself. I'm so sick of that stuff. Everybody's at a different financial place. I'll say this. Muskie Shop was gracious enough to give me a couple lynchums. We actually had an episode on it. I can't rightly just be like, hey, I got bills to pay. I'm going to buy like $200 worth of Lynchums. I get it. Nobody's denigrating either way. That's the nature of the beast, because when you get on some of these marketplaces, people are paying like $1,000 for a bar fighter. Give me a break.
Yeah.
You know, I don't give a two shits about some creepy deacon's email.
Well, you know, some of the manufacturers, like that guy making the Lynchums, it's just like, we came to him. It's just like, hey, can we buy some from him? It's just like, he's doing that.
Buy a Lynchum custom.
He charges what he charges. Yeah, you know? It's just like, what's my time worth? Well, I'm going to make a few bucks on it. If you have X amount of hours.
Dude, do you know how much a Lynchum is?
It's just like, I mean, what's your time worth?
Do you know how much like a straight up Lynchum is? It's like $250. It's so funny. Everybody's like, I want customs. I want custom musky baits. What they want are custom hellhounds that are $19. That's what everybody wants. Like, I'm not talking about the podcasters. You guys are just listening to me vent. Like, everybody's like, I want custom baits. Where's the customs at the musky shop? Them zoo boys, the guys that look like a zookeeper, them zookeeper bait companies, they got customs. Well, they got $19 customs that are crap that run like a fluke.
Yeah. Where was that voice from that you're doing there?
Hey, man, let me get them customs. Yeah.
Where's that guy from?
That guy is from Norton.
West Virginia.
Norton.
No.
That's like Norton.
Norton?
You got permission to hunt on this land?
That sounds like the guy from Deliverance.
You know where Cody Dalton is. Boys, I'll tell you what, Cody Dalton is tearing fish up right now, by the way.
Yeah, I guess.
Get out with him. Give him a shout. Anyway, Isaac. Hey, Stephen J. Sorry. I'll do the whole question that way. Isaac says, hey, Stephen J. Just wanted to type this again as I think you were busy the last time I sent a question. On those days where you see 8 to 10 fish and they have come on about every type of lure in your box, what's the next step? Recently had a trip where I seen a ton of fish following at a moderate pace, but wouldn't get in that 8. They followed on cranks, dive and rise, blades, blubber, and lastly topwater. I threw the kitchen sink at them. I really felt like as I downsized, I could get a bit. Is it bait choice, my retrieve, etc.? The fish never seem hot in that 8. Just as lazy and they cruise on by constantly. What had I done wrong? Thank you, Isaac.
Oh, good Lord. I only caught half of that, to be honest with you.
He's saying he had a hot day where he saw a lot of fish and he tried cranks and diving rods and blades and rubber and bucktails and topwater. And they would come in, they'd cruise by, and they wouldn't really pay attention. That's called the day where they suck.
That was the kitchen sink remark. Okay, got
right,
it. Okay.
Right. So yep. I've had those days. Jay, you've had those days where it's like you're seeing fish, and they're just like glazed over like a donut.
Yeah, sure. Right.
You know, you downsize, you change up, and you're still moving fish. I'll say this. There is a magic presentation that will get them to eat. It is truly the lottery of guessing games. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It would be a joke if I said, do this. I've seen it. You've seen it. Fish are moving. They're not eating. They're coming in. You've got to just play around. If you felt like you threw the kitchen sink at them, throw the bathroom sink at them too. Just get them out. The only bait that I've seen on days like that where I've like the fish are moving on everything, but they're not hitting anything is usually when I'll go to a crane bait.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'll just check out a crane and go. And if they're not hitting that, then you go, well, we're the aquarium. You know, hope everybody's enjoying seeing muskies. They're not going to eat, but there they go. That would be my commentary there. I mean, Isaac, some days they're just checking stuff out. I'm not the guy where I go, they have lazy followers, they don't. But there's days where they're just like, meh. They'll follow anything, but they won't. They've got zip ties on their mouth. They won't hit anything, but they'll check out everything. Check out a crane bait or a slammer.
Yeah, you know, your twitch bait, your 7-inch twitch
something
bait.
Right, something that's like insanely natural and wounded. If they won't eat that, then just go, well, we're just looking at them.
Yeah, and it really doesn't happen that often. At least this year, from my experience, and talking to other people, there hasn't been a lot of that lazy follow kind of days. It's like we didn't really have much of that either. Towards the end, we had some days where they were following. Like with Pete, we actually saw more fish that day than we caught. But up to that point, we were either you caught them or you didn't see them, you know.
Mike says, folks, let me know by email. Should I read every question like I was from Central West Virginia in the future?
Nah.
Never.
I wouldn't.
Mike says. Anyway, folks, Cody Dalton. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, look him up.
Look him up. Books, check him out. Mike, how do you determine the size of bulldogs / medusas to throw, and when do you prefer one over the other? 3-tail versus 2-tail versus 1-tail?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, most people start out in the spring with the small ones.
Right.
Mini medusas especially, you know, earlier in the season. And as the season progresses, and they go up bigger. And they wait for
quickly,
the monster sizes.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is the mini bulldogs. I don't even know. Do they even make those anymore? Like the tiny bulldogs?
Spring dogs. Micro dogs. Micro dogs are, that's a bass bait. But the spring dog is, you know.
And it seems
small
like the
little,
mini medusa. Right. The mini medusa seems like money in the spring.
Yeah.
And then to me, it goes to the standard bulldog.
Yeah, right? Regular size.
Right. Okay. And then back to a standard medusa. And then back to mag bulldogs. You know what I'm saying? It's like bulldog medusa, bulldog medusa, bulldog medusa is sort of my take.
I was talking with Matt Raley about that. I don't know if you were there. I can't remember, but we were talking about bulldogs. I mean, he's the king of soft plastics. He's right up there with the best of them. And he goes through these phases where he prefers one over the other. He's always been really good with medusas, but he said lately he's been fishing bulldogs a little bit more and doing well with them. And it's like, you know, he's got little technique things that he throws in there, like you know, the way he does his upward pull towards the end of a cast, it has to be at a specific time and like rhythm and all that. And that's where he's getting most of his strikes in that way. It's pretty cool.
I'll say this is once we get past standard sizes, bulldog takes over though. Like the mega monster medusas and the huskies are ridiculous. Like the big, I'm talking like the mega monster medusas. It's just too much.
Yeah, personally, I don't go above just regular size medusas and magnum bulldogs, anything bigger than that.
I'll throw pounders. Interested. You've seen me move fish and catch fish on pounders. I feel like a pounder's way easier to move than like the mega medusas, and it's just too much resistance.
Mm-hmm.
It's speed, but I hate to, and it sounds like a cop out. You got to see what the fish are doing. When it comes to rubber, dude, you got to have a bunch of it. Because I've seen a difference between like a white medusa and a white bulldog. One will outproduce, but the most basic thing I can give you is this. Medusas run shallower than bulldogs.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? That flat bottom. If you look at a medusa.
Yeah, that flat bottom, three tails.
There's more surface area.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And three tails are going to slow it as it falls more than two tails. So
a little
you
more
go,
drag.
I'll give you my best answer, Mike, and I feel I'm just a genius for this answer. I'm teasing. Three tails fall slower than two tails. Two tails fall slower than one tail. That's the way I look at it. It's like the best cop out I've got. I try to come up with an answer every time we do this stuff, but resistance in the water, right? So even if we're going, let's say a mega monster Medusa and a pounder, right? A mega monster Medusa will run shallower than a pounder in general because there's three tails catching water versus one tail.
Yeah.
I keep two mega monster Medusas in the boat. They are the size of a small RC car. You know, it's just like.
Mm-hmm.
But those are for big bites, shallow. I always have thought about bulldogs are deep. Medusas are shallow. That's just the way I look at them. If you need more hang time, get more tails. All right? So if you're looking for a big bite over shallow cover and structure, Medusa. If you're looking for a big bite deeper, bulldog. That's the way I look at it, for better or for worse. I'm probably wrong, but that would be the best thing I got. Jay, does that make sense?
Yeah, if you want even more hang time, and even a more higher in the water column type approach. I mean, there's shallow versions of both baits, you know,
right. With
a shallow original size Medusa. That's what I'd go with. You know, if you're looking at buying something right now or applying something right now to, you know, we're mid-August already. I mean, Labor Day's right around the corner. Pre-turnover's right around the corner. You know, get some regular size stuff, the original size ones. Magnum size bulldogs, can't go wrong.
No. Hope it helps. John, short and sweet. My uncle and I will be heading to the Turtle Flambeau Flowage this next week, August 13th through the 20th. Any tips would be helpful. Love the podcast. Keep killing it. Meow.
Meow. Yeah. Ooh, Turtle Flambeau. Yeah, we didn't get up there, Steve. You've never been there, right?
There are so many turtles up there. It's unbelievable.
Yep. I saw your turtle postcard. Don't even bring that up. No, that was a frog.
Dude.
That was the frog.
Guys, anyway. Big announcement. I saw a frog. I saw a frog was in Wisconsin. I had about a 12-pack of Pepsi, and there was a frog on my porch. I took a picture of it, and I sent a picture of Jim to the musky, that owns the musky shop. This is how professional I am. I circled the frog on my iPhone, right, Jay?
Yeah, you did.
And I emailed him and said, frog I saw in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Very postcard-esque.
He was impressed. Jim was like,
"It's good.
Dude, you saw a frog up here. That's amazing.
Yeah, wow. It is amazing.
You are the Make-A-Wish Foundation of musky fishing.
Well, if you want to see a lot of frogs and snakes, you could probably go up to the Turtle Flambeau Flowage.
Listen, I heard that most people just fish with live turtle there.
Can I try to answer his question?
In the form of a question. Can you answer his question in the form of a question?
The Turtle Flambeau Flowage has potential. Question mark?
No.
That's not good enough.
Do it again.
Answer his question in the form of a question. Oh, you're putting me on the spot, Steve. Why would I go to the Turtle Flambeau Flowage and not bring my topwaters with me?
There you go.
Yeah, it's cool water. It is very cool water. It's very kind of Canada looking. It's wilderness. There's not a lot of cabins on it. There's a ton of islands. So it's aesthetically good looking water, and it's kind of rocky. You know, the water level does fluctuate. Be careful with that. Maybe ask somebody at the launch or whatever. If they drop the water a few feet, you go slow because rocks come out of nowhere. But there's a million great areas, you know, there's a lot of great areas, and surface bait action, you know, that last hour of light is legendary out there. Yeah. But shallow water. There's some deep, you know, like Trude Lake, I think it's called, part of the flowage.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's some deep areas where you can actually work plastics. It's not that dark of water.
That's the thing, that with that tannic water, it's going to hold heat.
It's kind of that brown semi-clear water, but there's big fish up there. I mean, there's a ton of upper 40-inch fish. They get caught all the time.
Where would you recommend, let's say they go up there and they're fishing the turtle fanboy and they're getting their butts kicked, right? They could pretty much go to any lake off of 70 on that res area and probably find action, though.
Yeah, if you're not liking the turtle flambeau, just hang a right, just
check out
east
Squall
to Manitouish Chain.
Manitouish Chain, or you can check out Squall, which is now Amber Lake.
Yeah, that's not too far. Yeah, right. It's straight south of there or whatever. But,
anywhere in that neighborhood, there's other lakes. So if you want to go on a hog
there's
hunt
a ton of
there,
other lakes. Yeah,
check
you're
it out.
Really close to Mercer and you're close to Manitouish Waters, two small towns which are north of Minocqua. There's a lot of options.
All I know on the turtle flambeau is watch out for Shredder. That's a Ninja Turtles joke.
Ooh.
Jay, you're too old for Ninja Turtles, right?
Yeah, I don't like cartoons.
Why? In the form of... Tell me why you don't like cartoons in the form of a question.
Why is it that clowns disturb most normal people?
John Wayne Gacy.
There you go.
Thank you very much. Jack says, I know that a cold front has the potential to slow down the fishing, so you want to get in on that prefrontal action. However...
Negative. Go ahead. Sorry.
Negative. In my world, that's what they call me, Cold Front Steve Awesome. However,
darn right.
If it has been hot and humid, sorry.
They call you Cold Front Steve Paws.
Oh, that was funny, actually.
That was good.
However, if it's been hot and humid, could the fish become more active in the cold front because the temps were high for days, weeks leading up to it? For instance, I fish a shallow and green lake that gets very warm. Could the cold front help fish when it normally might be too hot for fish to advance much? Also, how is fishing in the rain? What are your tips for that? Low and slow, burning lures. There's a lot of questions in one question. Jacks are going to work on it. Cold fronts. Yep. They can turn them on and they can turn them off.
True.
Thank you, folks. Good night.
But. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Depends on the composition of the water. If it was hot, too hot to fish, too hot to handle now. Too hot. If it was really warm in the shallows, it might cool down enough that they'll move up. Let's say just a general Wisconsin 77 degree temp or upper Midwest. A lot of times we'll just back down to that break. The thing I say about cold fronts is this. Put away the bucktails in the topwater. If you haven't caught on to that yet, you haven't been listening. You will pick up some fish low and slow on weed edges, on structural elements, regardless of cold front or no cold front. It depends on which body of water you're on. You know, he's saying a shallow green lake that gets very warm. Well, if it cools off, they'll move up. You know, could the cold front help fishing when normally it might be too hot for that action? Yeah, absolutely. What about fishing in the rain? Totally another subject. I have two theories. They're either going to move up or they're going to go to the bottom. Jay, you've heard that before, but I talk about...
I've heard that before.
Yeah. Safety pin spinner baits, low and slow because it's like machine gun fire on the surface. If it's a drizzle... Throw a jackpot, throw a fat bastard, and they can hone in on it. Rain is, there's varying degrees of rain, right? If it's pouring, the surface noise has got to be disorienting for them, right?
Yeah, drizzle and pouring rain are two different subject matters for sure.
Right. Drizzle, I might break out a little bastard and creep it across the top. Pouring rain, they're going... Sensory overload. I better go to the bottom. How can they hone in on something when it's like, mm-hmm. right? If the water is rippling from the rain, they can feel it in their lateral line. How can they differentiate your bait from that rain? They can't.
Mm-hmm.
Go low and slow. burning lures. What is steady rainfall?
Well, he's talking about cold fronts. I mean, and most people associate cold fronts with that bluebird skies, you know, low humidity. All of a sudden, you know, there's no clouds and the wind's probably out of the north or whatever.
Right.
Great time to fish. Great time for big fish. How many big fish get caught on sunny days?
Too many.
A lot. An awful lot. Big fish don't compete in the same areas as little guys.
I love it. Preach on.
They don't.
They don't.
They don't want to be with those little whippersnappers running around.
That are way faster.
100 miles an hour because they're way faster. It's a big fish. It's like perfect time to feed. Let's go in and grab something. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, sunny, nobody else here. Boom. Great time for a big fish.
Right.
Great time to be on the water fishing for them. Yep. Everyone else gives up.
Absolutely. Cameron says, I recently missed a fish on a 10-inch Red October tube. The fish hit the bait right at boat side, T-boned it, and bit right in the middle in between the front and rear hooks.
Oh, that's, yeah, that
right? He says it's not a giant, but it was a musky, so a trophy regardless. Would have been my very first musky. I noticed in Musky Shop TV show, you guys didn't have a middle hook on the tubes. I added a middle hook to my tubes as soon as I got the bait out of the water. Have you had issues with this before? What are your thoughts on a middle treble hook on baits like this? Okay,
if he's talking a hook between the two on a 10-inch,
10-inch
has three hooks. Actually.
If you get out of a package, a Red October tube, a 10-inch, and you use the rig that's in it, it has a treble at the head, a single hook in the middle, and a treble in the back.
If it's a shallow or mid version, deeps run single hooks in the back.
Right. Yeah. So if you're running a deep, it's singles. I prefer the mid. The thing I can tell you is this, is you cannot add another hook to that.
Without re-rigging it, and
right.
There's a good chance that you're going to kill the action. You want that thing to dart really well.
Little ninja trick here for you. If they're body-hitting baits, you can take that rear shank that's connected to that single hook that's in the middle, and you can shorten it. So body hitters, when they hit, you can set the hook into them with the back hook. Because a lot of times, that thing's so far back, if they're not nipping the tail, you're going to miss them. If you shorten that shaft up to the body of the tube, make a new loop, and put that treble hook back on, you're not going to miss those body hitters. So a lot of the fish you see on Musky Shop TV that we caught on tubes, they actually had the shank in the back shortened. That's a mod we were doing where we're taking the tube as it came, flipping it upside down, holding it in our hands, bending that down shaft to make a new loop, cutting it, and putting that hook on the very back, right? Fish that hit the tentacles are not going to get hooked very often anyway. Those are nippers. I want as many hooks and as many barbs close to the body as I can get. The other thing I can say is this, on a tube hit, even in a figure eight, hit him back, right? There's not many baits in the figure eight world where I'm going to say set the hook on him. If he hits in a figure eight on a tube, set on his ass, right? Because if he hits behind that single hook that's in the middle of the body, you got to move some plastic to get a hook into him, right? So if you got body hitters you're not hooking, don't be afraid to shorten that back shank up. My rule of thumb is flip the bait over, hold it upside down, make the loop where it's even with the bottom of the body. Jay, you've seen me do it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That shortens everything up quite a bit. So all the hooks, you got a treble, single, treble right there at the main body. Rarely are they going to hit the tentacles. If he's hitting the tentacles, he ain't going to hit hard enough to get most of the time anyway.
Yeah.
The other thing with tubes, you've got to light them up. There's no mamby-pamby hook sets in tube fishing or bulldogs or medusas. If they hit rubber, you got to light them up. So try shorten that up. See if it helps you. Give it a go. Next one up, Jay. Mm-hmm. Let's see what we got here. Many questions.
I got a few. I got probably three. Well, I got those two back-to-back casts, those two nice fish. First one came off just before we netted it. And then on the next cast, I got that one. And I mean, he ate it right, basically, as the bait's turning right at the boat. It was really cool. And then the one with Pete Maina last week where the bait was bouncing in the water after the figure eight. That's crazy.
Yeah. We've got a question. Here's a little long-winded. I'll try to paraphrase. Rob says, I've been watching countless muskie videos and listening to the podcast. Being located in Traverse City with only a canoe and limited free time, I find it daunting to locate a good lake to fish and find a reasonable method. I have solid spinning gear, one medium heavy and a 1 ounce St. Croix heavy that can handle up to 5 ounces. In my area, there have been solid fish landed, but all the lakes are pretty big. He said there's pike and bass that are getting caught. He's basically looking for what kind of area can he target out of a canoe to contact trophy class fish.
Oh, did you say Traverse City? Is that lower Michigan?
Traverse City.
Traverse City. That's upper Michigan, right?
Yeah. What I would say is this, is look for what Booker calls those, the littoral zones, the shallow areas that hold vegetation. Right? Fine weed beds.
He's talking about canoe, though. So, I mean, if you got big bodies of water, there's got to be tributaries to those bodies. You know, if there's some rivers or something going into them, that'd be the thing to do.
Stay in the shallows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whether it be that 12 to 0 littoral zone or, like you just said, tributaries, don't worry about the big water. Fish big water in a small fashion. If you're searching for your first big muskie or your first muskie, a bucktail that is black with a nickel blade.
Can't beat it.
We've said it before. People have replied before and said, I got my first muskie. Thank you. Get in the shallows and throw a black and nickel bucktail until it happens. And then learn from it and go from there. You know, as far as weather moon phase, there's a lot of stuff to unpack in this question. But he's asking for the highest percentage place to start fishing. That's it. Find weeds, find reeds, find wood, find rock, throw a black and nickel bucktail, and don't throw it fast and don't throw it slow. Throw it at a medium pace and go from there. Right? I would recommend a 700 series Booker tail with a nickel blade and a black skirt. That is classic as it gets, Jay. You could catch a fish on that in November, December, opener, close, you name it. Would you disagree, or what do you think?
No, that's right on. Yeah.
The other thing I'd say is if you're in a canoe, let's say you don't have a motor, or maybe you do, or maybe you don't, throw an anchor down when you find a good spot.
Yeah, work that spot. Yeah, because you can blow by stuff on a canoe. You might be dealing with current too, so that would
let's say
we found the situation. You don't want to fish too fast.
Let's say we find a weed bed, right? Throw an anchor down your canoe and make 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 casts before you move. Cover it. Run the clock drill. 1 o'clock, 1:30, 2:30, 3:30, 4:30, 5:30, whatever it is, right? Cast the entire area. Cover water with a bucktail, single blade, medium pace. Something will happen. You've got to start somewhere. Doing that will put a muskie in your net eventually. Jay, there's so many questions. So many. One more.
Okay.
Right. Oh, he asked, why is the Rod and Muskie Country the video game? If you don't have the video game downloaded now, Muskie Country. There's a free version in the app, by the way. He was asking about the game. Let's see. Let's keep going here. There's so many. I hope to goodness, folks, we can keep up with them. Bob, I've been developing my night. Oh, this is Bob K. Bob K. God bless you. Bob K. came to the Musky Shop Bash. Bob is way smarter than any person that listens to the Musky 360 podcast. Jay, do you remember?
I know Bob?
Bob is he's a physics professor, Jay.
Okay.
He was wearing the Indiana Jones hat. And I introduced you guys. He's massively smart. Love it.
Yeah, okay,
shout
okay,
out to Bob. Yep. I've been developing my night fishing tactics this summer, and I've been having a little trouble getting dialed in. However, I've been rocking largemouth bass on jointed depth raiders every night I've been out. Do you think the muskies are around and I just haven't gotten my timing and presentation right, or am I in wrong spots? For context, I'm fishing in Minnesota lakes before dusk to about 2 a.m. Rule of thumb. If other predators are active, muskies are not. Okay? So if I'm drilling largemouth, I need to get
or
out of
pike.
There.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're not scared enough. Listen to me. Mm-hmm. If they ain't scared, they ain't going to hit. That's a fact. State law. So anyway,
some people call it a sling blade.
Some people call it a muskalander. I call it a muskaskunge. If largemouth are hitting, smallmouth are hitting, northern pike are hitting, I'm in the wrong spot. If they're willing to come off cover structure without a large amount of fear in their heart,
yeah, right.
We need to move.
Mm-hmm.
What will happen? Now, I don't know what lake in Minnesota, it doesn't matter. But if it's anything like Canada, my experience has been the weed beds become devoid of muskies in the evening and they move out to the reefs. Right? If you're catching largemouth, move on. Find where the smallmouth, the largemouth are not hitting. Right, and get away from them, because if they're coming out there and just bashing stuff, I don't know. You catch one or two, maybe, but if you're crushing them, you might want to readdress your location. A good daytime musky spot is not often a great nighttime musky spot. I was talking to my guys on the boat today. And I said there's different shifts, right? There's day shift, there's night shift, and there's in-betweeners. Right? Daytime muskies have done their business and gotten it over with long ago. Right? The night shift's going to move, but they're going to do things slightly different. So readdress. If you're continually catching largies, smallies, something like that, move on. Now, if you're catching walleye, different conversation. But look at it, approach it a little differently. It might be a similar scenario. Let's say, Bob, you're on a weed bed that is combined with rock. Find one that might break into slightly deeper water, or find something that's similar but slightly different. Jay, do you got anything to put in there?
No. Yeah, we found the same kind of pattern with the pike. Mm-hmm. You know, a few times where we were fishing predominantly deep weed edges, and the pike were usually not there. We caught very few pike, really, on the whole trip. And then one day, we started nailing some pike in the same areas, you know, on the same lake we went back to. It's like, no, time to move. You know,
well, folks, we have
muskies. They've shifted a little bit.
They've shifted. Folks, we've shifted. I've got to get up and guy in the morning. Jay, we're trying to catch up on Q&A. Folks, thank you so much for all the support. Check out the new episode of Musky Shop TV exclusively on YouTube. Anyway, Jay, say goodnight.
Later, guys.